This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks for joining us. Today we're talking with members of the Student Veterans Association of New Mexico State University. I'm pleased to have with us to start today Stevie Hansen, the secretary of the organization. Today they have a big event, the second annual Ride to Remember 9/11 event, scheduled for earlier today. Stevie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Fred.
It's good to have you here. Tell me about how this ride began. This is the second year for the event. How it started and who it benefits.
Well, the first year that we started, which of course was last year, basically as an organization, we came up with the idea that the most lucrative way to raise money for a charity would be a motorcycle run, since that's what's popular in this area. So, and last year was very successful. We raised about $1,500 for the Wounded Warrior Project, and we had about 150 bikes. It's been a learning experience since then, so I think the second annual this year will be much better.
Tell me about the Wounded Warrior Project. This is what it's benefiting again this year?
No, actually, this year we have two foundations that
okay.
we're benefiting. The first one is the New Mexico State Veterans Home up in TRC. And the second one is Military Working Dog Adoptions here in Las Cruces. We decided to stay local this time, as Wounded Warrior is a national project. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And tell me, in terms of this event, what it means to you to be able to be able to give back in this way.
Well, it means a lot for us as veterans to give back. You know, like the New Mexico State Veterans Home. A lot of these veterans don't have any families anymore, and they're basically living there. A lot of them need like hospice care. Some of them are convalescent care, so, and they don't really have a lot right now. So that's one of the reasons why we chose them. The Military Working Dog Adoptions, basically this woman is taking dogs returning from Afghanistan and Iraq. They're finding that the dogs are experiencing, you know, PTSD just like veterans. So what she's doing is she's retraining these dogs to be service dogs for the Wounded Warrior Battalion down at Fort Bliss. And she's also training dogs just to be family pets that can be adopted.
Okay. So. Want to switch gears a little bit as we move into the organization. For you to tell me a little bit about the Student Veterans Association of New Mexico State University.
Well, basically, we're first and foremost about the veteran student. We've organized ourselves. There's actually a national chapter, and their main focus is the student veteran. We've basically created this since last year to help returning veterans transition from military life to academia. And we're not only here for the veteran themselves, but we're here for their families. So if their spouse or their children are using their GI benefits, we're here for them as well.
What has it meant to you personally to be involved, Stevie?
It has been an incredible journey. It's given a lot back personally. It's kind of emotional since... Well, it just means a lot.
A lot of support that you've gotten from it.
Well, a lot of support, and anytime you give back to the community, it's very fulfilling.
Okay.
So.
Stevie Hansen, she is the secretary of the Student Veterans Association of New Mexico State University. Stevie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And as we continue our discussion, we're now speaking with the president of the Student Veterans Association of NMSU, Tony Cano. Tony, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Fred.
Good to have you with us. This organization, and Stevie got a little emotional about it. I imagine that there are a lot of folks that are involved that draw a lot of support, and you need support transitioning from military life to academic life. Tell me about that.
We started the organization, like she was saying. We actually started it 2010 is when it started off. We started off with 10 members. We went to 30 members last year, and now we're about 100. So it's our numbers are growing. We've gotten the support. One of the biggest things that we have is our motto is never alone, and we live by that. That's something that we do live by quite a bit. We take care of our own. you know, not just in the military, but also after they get out as well. They need a support group, I guess you could say, and we want to be there for them to make them understand that they're not alone. You know, they have other people here on campus that can help them out, help them make that transition from the military and back into, you know, college life, so to speak, because it is a big shock. I can tell you that for sure. I was in for 23 years. I retired, came back, and the kids here are half my age. So it's been a big, big change for me, you know, going from the military structure to the college, where there's still some structure, but not as much discipline, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. that we're used to. So it's a big change.
Big difference.
Big, big difference.
And added to this is the fact that there are some veterans who are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. Tell me about the stigma of that and dealing with that and how the Student Veterans Association helps with it.
We have several different ways that we can go about it. We have resources here on campus through the counseling center that we can actually get veterans help if they do need it. You know, we're not counselors, but we can listen to what they have to say because we've all walked down that road, so we all have a general idea of what's going on. That's one way that we're, you know, that's one way that we're working toward trying to get, you know, more awareness through the PTSD, you know, the TBI and all that, because we've got a lot of combat veterans that are coming back that do have issues.
And you gave an acronym there, TBI. That's traumatic brain injury, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, sir. You know, so we've got a lot of you know, service members that are coming back with these issues.
As I understand, talking to physicians in the area and to veterans, these problems, both PTSD and TBI, traumatic brain injury, are much more common than what maybe the general population realizes right now.
Right. It's something that stemmed back, you know, I mean, back to World War I and probably before that. It's something that, you know, a lot of us have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and it's not easy. But when you have people like, you know, Andrea and Stevie and other veterans, it's a lot easier to deal with whenever you can talk to somebody that's actually experiencing the same things that you are. So, I mean, that's our way. You know, we were all NCOs in the military, non-commissioned officers in the military, so we kind of have a general idea of what we need to do, how we're running the organization. We're kind of doing the same way as a military. So when we see an issue, we kind of get together and band together and try to help out as much as we possibly can.
As I understand it from seeing stories that have been done on the issues of PTSD, of TBI, even of simply mental distress, dealing with coming back home and remembering some of the things that happened at war, that there are times when service members have difficulty seeking help. Being in a group like this, do you often give each other strength for those who need to seek help to feel they can do that?
Yeah, yes, we do. I mean, you know, there's been several occasions that you know, people have come up to us and talked to us. They wanted to know what we were about. They want to know how we could help them, and we've actually been able to do that several times here on mm-hmm. campus. So, you know, it's something, like I said, we take care of our own, and they're never alone, and we want them to know that. That's, like I said, we live by our motto. That's one thing that we really want them to understand. They're not alone here. Mm-hmm. They never will be.
Do you think that, of course, not every service member coming back has access to a group like this? Not every service member has the opportunity maybe to go to a university coming back? Do you think that the military needs to be doing more to help veterans when they do come back to reintegrate, to get mental health services or other services that they need them?
I do. I do believe that would help a lot. Even though we are a minority, you know, within the communities that we go to school in, there's over 500 chapters throughout the United States of the student veterans. So we're growing. You know, we us as veterans, we have a bigger voice now, and we're starting to use that voice. We're starting to make it known that we're here, and we're willing to do everything we can to make a difference, not only on campus, but also in our communities. And one of the biggest things that we do, just because, you know, one of the things that Andrea, she went to a conference that Google hosted, a leadership conference. And one of the things she brought back was there was a lot of knowledge from other veteran organizations that she actually was able to do. And one of the actual phrases she brought back was, you know, something that I think is very important. You know, it says, you know, we may be uneducated, but that's why we're back in school, to become educated. But don't overlook us, because we do have a big life experience. There's a lot of experience that we're bringing to the table when we come here. And that's one of the things that we're trying to, you know, get the administration to understand. You know, veterans on campus, we do have a voice, and we want to be heard. And that's why we're here. We're really trying to make things a lot better for veterans when they come to school, make it easier, making a smoother transition.
And Tony, if folks who are listening want to find out more about the organization and perhaps even get involved, how would they go about doing that?
Well, there's several different ways. Myself, Andrea, and Stevie, we all, you know, have our own personal emails, but we have an email that's set up for the SVA. It's sva@nmsu.edu. They can send us an email there. We also have a SVA phone, a phone number. It's 575-386-9581. We're also on Facebook as well. And it's Facebook, SVA of NMSU.
Okay.
So you can go there as well.
All right.
These are all these different areas. We're also starting up a webpage on the university itself. It's not completed yet. We're trying to get all that so we can get all these links linked up as well.
But the email address, easy to remember, is sva@nmsu.edu.
Yes, it is.
All right. And that's the Student Veterans Association of NMSU, the president, Tony Cano. Tony, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we're continuing our conversation now with the Student Veterans Association of NMSU. Now we're speaking with the vice president, Andrea Sandoval. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Fred, for having us.
Well, let's talk. We've talked about coming back from overseas after serving the military. Let's talk about transitioning into the community and coming home. This is certainly an issue as well, and not just for the students who are starting an academic career. There are also issues in the home, relationships with family and friends, perhaps a spouse. Tell me about the challenges there.
Well, you're correct. There is a lot of challenges just coming home, not to mention, I think on a broader spectrum, it is you come home and you have a wife or a spouse that hasn't seen you in, say, about a year or so, maybe more, depending on if you deployed longer with the National Guard. And you need to redevelop those relationships. And if you had been in combat, you have other issues coming in, you know, depending on what you saw, what you did, and you have to deal with the mental issues of those. Now, some people are really good about being able to manage those, and some people not so much, and it's almost like dating again. And so you have to get to know your spouse, and then you have children in the mix who, you know, they miss mommy or daddy or brother or sister or, you know, their aunt or uncle. And so the children and some of your family members don't know how to approach you. And so there's this, it's about building back your relationships and your community. And I think as SVA, we try to minimize the negative effects. There are going to be effects, and it's about managing them and understanding, and get your community behind you to understand that you went through a traumatic experience. You were gone, just the sheer fact of being gone so long without being in your familiar area, being in a foreign land or with others that you don't choose to be. So that alone, we are very focused, not only giving back to students and taking care of students, but we live in this community. So we want to give back to our community for the support that they have given us, and kind of work it in where we're going to build those relationships, and we want our veterans to come back and be able to build those relationships with the wives and the spouses and the family and friends of the community.
Okay. And when you wrote to me about what we were going to be talking about today, one of the phrases you used was being a voice for veterans and service members at NMSU. Tell me about what that means, to be a voice.
That means, it means different things here and versus the community. Here on campus, you're coming back, you have between anywhere a 21-year-old to us in our 40s that retired. But they come back with life experiences, and they operate a certain way because that's the way we've been trained. You come into academics, and it's a whole other animal. So they don't know how to ask for, you know, how do I get through admissions? How do I get through financial aid? How do I get through the registrar's office? Where do I park? It could be as simple as that. So what we want to have a voice is hopefully have the administrators and the faculty going, hey, you have a veteran coming back. And they operate a little bit differently than your traditional student. And just to have a little bit of awareness in that voice to say, understand us. We're not asking for special treatment per se. We're asking for your understanding. So if we walk away and stay quiet and you want us to participate, it may not be that day may not be a good day for us. And don't think it as we're being antisocial, or do not hopefully take it as we're just this warmongering, aggressive person, because we're not. And, you know, there's a lot of us in community, and we want to change that perception of what some people have of what a veteran is.
Mm.
And so that voice that we want to use here on campus is to make it better, and also kind of transitioning into developing programs. There, Michigan State and San Diego State have really good programs for the veteran returning to work out with their hands as far as growing things, you know, being a farmer, being a rancher. What at a perfect place than an NMSU with a huge agriculture department, not to mention on your outside, people need these farmers and ranchers to kind of come back in to take over those farms and ranches to make them be successful. Not all veterans want a four-year degree. Mm. Not all veterans want to work inside. Some of them want that idea of, I planted the seed and now look at the seed had grown. To them, that not only is therapeutic, but it's rewarding. Mm. So we want to have, I mean, you have great agriculture department. Let's use it. Hopefully we could develop a program for veterans that, or even anybody to come in and say, you know what, I want to know how to be a rancher. Mm. I want to know how to be a farmer. I want to grow the best chilies in the world. And this, hopefully we could work it in with NMSU to develop a program where we give them the tools to go out there and be successful and be part of that community.
Yeah, it sounds like in terms of being a voice, you, just as your group is helping veterans, you are hoping that the university can also help in terms of talking about possible fields of study, possible career choices.
Correct.
Because someone may come back and not know.
Correct. It's making a general assumption that every person that comes back that has a GI Bill wants to go to a four-year school. And it's incorrect to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of us do come back, we want our degree. Because Tony wants to be a teacher. Stevie wants to go in geography. I want to go into graphic design. We need that four-year degree to help us along. Well, some people want to work with their hands, and you don't necessarily need a four-year degree, mm-hmm. but you need training. You need to know how to, you know, the chemistry, the chemical engineering, the agriculture engineering, how to grow the best possible product out there. And this is a great school to do it, and we want the faculty and the administrators to understand that. We want to be part of your community.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make not only ourselves succeed, but in turn the community succeed, and this is the place that we want to do it. We picked it. We like New Mexico. We want people to come to New Mexico. We want the best.
Mm.
And as veterans strive for the best, if not perfection. And so you will see where veterans will doggedly just keep on one track going, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make it happen. I will succeed no matter what. And that's because of our training, and that's because of our heart and our mindset. Not to say any other person that doesn't have that same thing, but you will see that fervor a lot in veterans.
Hmm.
The veterans want to know, what does it take for me to get the A? What does it take for me to grow the best product possible? What does it take for me to be the best citizen possible?
And that's an important thing to understand as well for folks listening who might be employers, because certainly I know there are many, many students who also are holding down sometimes part-time, sometimes full-time jobs while they're going to school.
Most definitely. And a lot of veterans, and this is probably where we differ from a traditional student, veterans come back, they have a job, more than likely. Or they have a family, and they need to support their family. And they're going to go come to school and get an education. So they have a lot of demands where traditional students are lucky enough not to have those demands quite yet. So the other part of what we want to have a voice is, hopefully employers understand that when you hire a veteran, more than likely, you're going to get an outstanding person. You're going to get somebody with drive and character and the integrity and honesty that we all believe in. But also with that comes that some people need to have I need a couple hours off here because I need to go to the doctor. And if it's possible, make it happen. And your veteran, your service member will come back. They appreciate it. I mean, when they see that they're getting a little bit of a break, they will work for you like nobody's business. And it will come back to you threefold because they are so loyal. Veterans in ISSA are loyal people. You know, and I'm making a general assumption here, but when you get our loyalty, I know for the three of us, I think I could speak quite confidently that we will go to the end of the earth for you.
Okay. This is not the first time we've sat down to speak, Andrea. We also talked on KRWG-TV on Newsmakers about your Graffiti of War project.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite interviews of the last couple of years, and actually one of the rare ones that I've aired a second time. We've repeated it already.
Oh, my goodness.
On KRWG-TV. Get me up to date on that. And for folks who aren't familiar with the Graffiti of War project, what it's all about.
Graffiti of War was started because of Jason Parson. And he had this really great idea that part of the healing is art therapy. And one of the main art therapies when you go out, nobody ever goes out there to war zones. But if you do, there are some unique pieces of artwork, and they're all handmade. And most of them are graffiti, which would be considered a graffiti genre. But they tell so much of the story of what a soldier or service member out there is going through. And there's the pictures I was able to take, and the second time going out there as a non-combatant, which alone in itself is a huge change of roles. But going out there and seeing it, and then talking to some of the local nationals and how they feel and seeing their artwork, it puts a perspective that's more human. Because when you first go out there, when I first went out there, I didn't want to, you have a job and you have a focus and you have a mission. It's very difficult to appreciate art. And so Jason had this really good idea of, let's bring home these pictures. And we were successful at that. He's had a couple shows. I had to leave that company because I was an intern and I needed to come back and focus on school. So he's, from what I could see and with the emails I still get, he's doing fairly well. They had a show in Pennsylvania and they had one at Mikey Tuttle's, who is Orange County Choppers.
Oh, wow. And folks who are listening, if they want to see some of this artwork, they can find it online, right?
Correct. At graffitiofwar.com.
Graffitiofwar.com. And when you came to speak with me on KRWG-TV, you actually had a hardback book as
yes.
well, a hardcover book.
They still are in production with that. Mm-hmm. I have a couple samples of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I forgot to bring you the next copy, but it is amazing to see that artwork on the paper. And, you know, we have an idea that we might do, and it has to do with bringing back some of those, kind of working with our art department here, bringing back some of those ideas. So putting up a T-wall, we're going to make a T-wall and maybe having a competition. We're not sure about the logistics of it, so hopefully nobody takes me too much to heart right now because we're still thinking out loud. But bringing it here and having those same pieces of art recreated, and probably hopefully if we can and raise enough money, set them as a permanent memorial. Because when you see what those T-walls represent, not only do they represent your safety, because they were there for as actually blast walls is what they were for. So as the mortars come in or as you're attacked, they're your protection. But they're also, in another, they are what keeps you back from going home. So there's a lot of love-hate. You know, you love them and you see beautiful pieces of work. But when you come back home and you transition back in, those are reminders of where you were. Mm. And this is how I think that internship going back out to Iraq itself last year has helped me with the student veterans, because it's what I want to give back. It's how do I give back and make a difference to my college career, and how do we make a difference here at home? You see all those memories, you see the emotion that comes up, and we want to find a way to kind of harness it and make it work for the best and make it, give back the best of what we have. Even though maybe some of us are a little, dented and dinged up, we're going to come back and make the best of it because that's who we are and we like our community. We want to make the best for our community in our school.
What has this meant for you continuing not only with Graffiti of War, but now coming back and being involved as the vice president of the Student Veterans Association of NMSU personally in your life? What has that meant?
It has, each of us have experiences, some good, some bad, and never did I think I would experience some of those things. And they were heart-wrenching and horrible, but we did. And coming back, I always had this, even growing up, give back to what you were given. Mm. I was given this experience. It was not the experience I wanted, nor do I want a lot of people to experience it. But I was given this experience, so take my wisdom that I was given. Take my experience and give back to the community to make a positive difference. So for me, personally, it's about giving back. Mm. It's about saying, you know what, I have this, and it hurts. But take it, figure out the positive. Mm-hmm. Don't, I could sit all day long and say, poor me, I saw this or I saw that and my life sucks. No, for me, it's not that. Because I could sit there all day long and wallow. The difference that I know we want to make is taking that either sadness or anger and channeling it, going, okay, what can we do that makes a difference? How do we see people less fortunate than me? Mm-hmm. And are people in need, not even less fortunate, just, they have a bad break saying, they need the basics of life. They need food, water, whatever it is. We can help. Mm-hmm. We may not be able to bring you millions of dollars, but we're going to be able to help and be there for you as our fellow citizen, our fellow veteran, whoever it is, our brothers and sisters. We're going to be there for you because you're never alone.
Okay. And to get in contact with you, the email address, sva@nmsu.edu.
That's correct. SarahVictorAlpha@nmsu.edu.
All right. Andrea Sandoval is the vice president of the Student Veterans Association of New Mexico State University. Thanks so much for being